Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
What is up? Welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Friday. Today here we come to you post All-Star break talk for today, as you know, no games on Wednesday. There was one actually yesterday, so we'll go over that in just a moment. I'll give you all the we'll do the game coverage for that one. It was the Cubs and Cardinals. I'm assuming it was a makeup game from one of the games that was rained out at Wrigley Field, or snowed out at Wrigley Field earlier in the year, or it could have been in St. Louis, either way. But they played yesterday, as we'll do that in a moment. But yeah, the Cubs, they have it. They're first place. They have the best record in the National League. They did win that game yesterday, I'll tell you that now. But they've also played now four less games than the Brewers, who are behind them. They only have one more win than the Brewers do, but they have the loss column is the big deal, as they are five games better in the loss column than Milwaukee. So now I think a full three games ahead of them, as we'll have a full slate of action tonight and today, as we'll get restarted for the, I mean, they say it's the second half of the season. I say second half outlook. It's not. It's more like the final third, almost the stretch run, really, because a lot of these teams have already played upwards of 90 games and they have about 60 to go. So, or 60 or 70 to go. So we'll get that right away. We'll talk about that outlook and what's been happening. We've also had some early trades. Obviously, we talked about the Machado trade a little bit last time out, as we already kind of knew what was going to be happening, even after the All-Star break on Tuesday. Machado being traded to the Dodgers for five prospects. Only one of the big... I was kind of hoping the Dodgers would get fleeced a little bit for Machado, but they only gave up one of their really top prospects. However, the other guys they did give up are having very good years throughout the their minor leagues this year. That's how deep the Dodgers their farm system is that they can give away one top prospect, keep the rest of their really top prospect, then also give away guys who are having really good years to make it seem a little more worthwhile for the Orioles. That's what happened it happened yesterday, and Wednesday was kind of when the deal all went through, and now official today. All right, going into that, we'll give you do the game really quick from yesterday. This game was, I believe, in Chicago last night. Of course, had it on ESPN. The only game going on all around Major League Baseball. Cubs beat the Cardinals 9-6. They had they were trailing 3-1, but they scored five runs in the bottom half of the fifth inning to take the lead, and the lead they would hold on to in this one. Ian Happ went deep for the Cubs, his 12th of the season off of Carlos Martinez. For the Cardinals, they actually had a couple home runs. Tommy Pham hit his 14th. Matt Carpenter his 20th of the season, as Martinez was the starter for the Cardinals, went five innings, as he was pitching pretty well until that fifth inning. He five earned runs, six total on seven hits, one walk, two strikeouts. That home run by Happ was in the fifth inning as well. Two run shots to really culminate that that big inning for the Cubs there, as the winning pitcher for the Cubs was Dunsing. Had to come in relief. Brian Dunsing came in relief for Kyle Hendricks, who went 4 2/3 innings, three runs on nine hits, one walk, four strikeouts, a homer allowed, as he was removed after throwing 113 pitches over those four and two-thirds innings of work. So he was laboring pretty hard there last night. But the Cubs get the win. The offense comes through, and they get the 9-6 win. The Cardinals try to come back with a run in the eighth and a run in the ninth, but all for naught, as this Cardinals team. They're without Mike Matheny. They're done. Mike Matheny's gone. Cardinals interim manager taking over as they have to. They kind of are. No, I don't know. Are they falling off? They're not out of the. They're not out of the. Out of the race. I just think that they thought that maybe Mike Matheny wasn't getting the most out of his players. I mean, they did lose a bunch of games. I know that that Red Series was pretty tough. It was the deal that is actually Mike Schlid is the interim manager for the Cardinals to get the win in his first game, but didn't beat the Cubs last night. But just saying, you know, you got to figure that out in St. Louis, whether it's going to be a situation where they go after Joe Girardi. I've been hearing his name flying around as far as replacements for Matheny. For next season, so we could, or maybe even looking for this season, because it's the team that, I mean, I know they have the Brewers and the Cubs ahead of them. Kind of wild card is kind of weird in the National League right now, as they're only 4.5 back in the wild card right now, and they're only they're 8.5 back in their division. So I mean, that's a little tougher. 8.5 back in the division, 4.5 back in the wild card with the Giants, Rockies, and Diamondbacks all ahead. All three of the West NL West teams. There in the wild card as well. So with Milwaukee and Atlanta as your one and your two teams, your number one wild card and your number two wild card at this moment going into the All-Star break. But yeah, nope. If you're a Cardinals fan, I mean, they're game over 500 even after losing yesterday. They were two games over 500 going into the break. It's just interesting. Maybe it's a culture thing. They wanted to get a little change of scenery. Matheny, the hitting coach and the assistant hitting coach were all relieved of their duties by the Cardinals early last week. So that was something that, you know, was a little unexpected. Maybe expected. He was been on the hot seat the whole season. Matheny was, and it probably just came to an end at this point, where it's like, you know, we can't really do this anymore. All right, but well, this is a second half outlook show. So in the first couple segments of the day, we're going to be looking at the outlook like for this season, for the second half. I mean, the Yankees are 5 games up in the wild card right now. They're 5 games ahead of the Mariners, who are 3 games clear of the A's right now, who came into the break on absolute terror. I mean, A's winning 7 of the last 10, won 2 in a row going into the break. They're 55-42. They're 13 games over 500, the A's are right now, as they may be giving the Mariners a run for their money, because the Mariners have had a tendency to kind of fall off in the second half of the season because of the fact that they have a lot of air miles traveled. I mean, oh, they're sitting on an airplane. Well, yeah. You're on an airplane for 5 hours, 6 hours, every single trip that you're going on, and you got to get up and get after it. And sometimes it could wear on you. I mean, it's a grind. The season's a grind. We're getting through the end of July here, and we're going to get into what they call the dog days of August. They call them the dog days of August for a reason, because your dog is tired. You've been playing baseball every dang day since early March for most of these guys, because they for spring training. Hard baseball since April. I mean, meaningful baseball since April. So, I mean, that's 4 solid months of sport of baseball right there. Five. I can count four solid months: April, May, June, July, of 4 solid months of baseball right there. And you got 2 more to go. So that's what I'm saying. The All-Star game is 3.5 months through the season. You only got 2.5 more months of the regular season left. That's what I'm telling you. It's not really the halfway point. They call it the second half because of the break. But so it's mathematically not the second half. The Yankees have played 95 games already, and that means that they only have if I can do math correctly, 67 games left. There you go, 67 games left. They've already played 95, and they have to make up some ground. I mean, I know we're gonna break it up the second half. So we'll call this the second half of this first segment the AL East segment, because I know that there's some races that are not really worth talking about, like in the Central. The AL Central, probably not kind of going over that much. The Indians, we'll talk about them when we go to into our trade segment in the third segment here. But in the AL East, it's Yankees, Red Sox. It's going to be winner wins the division, obviously, loser, second place, gets the wild card. And that means you got to, I mean, you used to be, oh, well, who cares? Yeah, wild card, whatever. We'll just be, we'll play the number one seed. It's fine. We'll go after it. Nope, not anymore. You got to play that one game wild card. And it's been like that for a few years, but this is really the first time now the Yankees are going to be like, ooh, like I've talked about it on the show. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Are they going to win that division? Are they going to make a push for the division? They're, what are they right now? Four and a half games back in the division. Red Sox have the best record in baseball. And if they continue that, I mean, the thing is, I'm not going to call the Red Sox the best team. You can't call the Red Sox the best team, number one. The Astros are still there. The Astros are 64-35. The Red Sox are 68-30. So honestly, I mean, they got four and a half games on them too. So, or not quite four and a half games. 35 losses, 30 losses. It might be more than that, actually, because they're five games back in the loss column. Five games back in the loss column, four in the win column. It's four and a half games. Four and a half. That's how it works. I mean, the Yankees are also four and a half games back, but they're 62-33. Only three in the loss column and four in the win column. So maybe it's five and a half for the Astros, if I could do math correctly. Looking at the Red Sox, looking at the Yankees, really, you want to win that division so bad. The Red Sox, if they weren't to win the division, if, say, the Yankees were able to come up and get them, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because the Red Sox rotation is a little more designed to get through that first wild card game and then be ready to be lined up for the ALDS. So, which would likely, either be against the Yankees or the... I mean, honestly, any of these teams... Astros, Indians, any of the division winners could end up with a number one seed. It's going to come down to the wire. I think the Indians even are going to make a charge. They made a really, really good trade. I know they had to give up a big prospect for it. We'll talk about it in the next few segments. I'm going to tease their trade if you don't know about it already. But it's a pretty big trade, and they got a good, really good player for their prospect. So right now, they're 52-43, so I mean, it looks like they're probably not going to end up with that best record in the American League. They'd really have to go on a run, and everybody would kind of have to tank as they are. I mean, imagine if the Indians were in the AL Central, AL West, they'd be in fourth place. They'd be in fourth place. They're 52-43, and the A's are 55-42. They'd be in fourth place in the AL West right now. The Indians would. They'd be in third place in the East. They'd be in third place in the NL Central. They'd be in third place in the AL in the NL East, and they'd be in third place in the NL. Wow, they're lucky they play in the NL Central. They better take advantage of it, because they play all those teams. The thing is, you think that the team in the AL Central who wins the division would be crazy, would be a shoo-in for the first seed, because they play all those crummy teams a lot more than the other guys do. I mean, the AL East is one thing too, so I mean, yeah. But you play Detroit and the White Sox and the Royals multiple times, even the Twins. The Twins are tough, they have been tough on the Indians this year. But you play the White Sox, Royals, and Twins, I mean, White Sox, Royals, and Tigers 19 times a year. So 19 times 3, that's how many games are just between those three teams right there. And those should be, that your winning percentage should probably be like 75% at least. I mean, that's 57 games right there. 57 games. A third of your schedule is against your division. So you should win a bunch of those games, shouldn't you? Right? So it's just crazy that they're way beneath. Because the Red Sox, the thing is, I know the Red Sox play them too, but they only play them six times a year. The NL Central team, the AL Central team, sorry, AL Central. And they've been taking care of them. So, I mean, we'll see how it happens. I think that the Red Sox are, the way they've been playing, are due to be the number one seed in the AL, which means the Yankees would be the wild card teams, which means the Yankees would play either the A's or the Mariners in that wild card game with Severino starting. And then what? I'm saying they win the game. It's not a guarantee. Those wild card games are crazy. You saw how the Royals beat the A's in the wild card game back in 2014, and then it ended up going to the World Series. So I mean, anything's possible in October, but he's definitely got, I mean, they definitely have to get ready to figure out who that second starter is going to be. Because I'm assuming they do get past the wild card game. It's going to be at home. It's going to be wild. The Yankee Stadium, they're going to probably get some big home runs. And Severino is a very good big game pitcher. He'll probably just be fine in that game. So I'm assuming they get through the game. Then what? Sonny Gray, game one ALDS against the Red Sox. Masahiro Tanaka, game one against the Red Sox. That's it. Who else you got? The Leisoga? I don't know who their fourth. CC Sabathia, the game one against the Red Sox? Because they're going to put. You're going to have Chris Sale. Hey, good luck. Have fun with it. All right. That's it for the AL East. I know we've talked about it a lot on this show. We'll go over to the AL West in the next segment, as well as going over to the NL. For the whole next segment as well. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast on a Friday today here as we're looking at the outlook for the second half of this season. Well, we call it the second half. I'm just going to call it the second half and just be okay with it every time I say it. The second half of the season post-All-Star break, as it really is it marks the stretch run because okay, it's not the second half. It's the post-All-Star break stretch run. We're getting to August, September. Rosters are going to expand. We're going to do that also. I'm going to talk about it on probably at the end of the next month. Talk about how teams are going to look a little different and how the roster expansion is going to change different teams' outlooks for the playoffs. If obviously, we're going to think about baseball is you never know. We could be right where we are right now with everybody like 4, 5, 6 games back in September on September 1st, and that could be just fine because things can change. I mean, I remember being a Giants fan in 2010, we were we were down 9 games on September 1st after a dismal April. I think they won maybe 11 games in April. They went like 11 and 15 in April or something like that. It was bad, and they were down like 9 games in the NL West. But the Padres are in first place. The Padres are looking good, and they just tank. I think the Padres lost like 10 games in a row or something. I think they were 11 games back. They had to be. They lost like 11 games in a row in September. Giants went on a tear. They finished like 18 and 12 in September, or more than that, and it obviously came down to the last game of the season to decide who won the AL West. But you never know. I mean, sorry, NL West. You never know what's going to happen. You really don't. Teams can go on runs. Teams can tank. The A's are in it still. I mean, it's not over. I know we're going to talk about some of the trade deadline stuff. That's definitely going to be on the show next week as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline. We have some trades to report later in the show. But, this is the outlook for the American League West. I think that the Astros are going to be just fine. They should take the West. It's going to come down to whether the Mariners or the A's will be the team to get the wild card, not the Angels. I don't need to rip on the Angels anymore. I know that. But it's the A's or the Mariners, really, in the American League, the entire American League, when it comes to who's basically going to play that wild card game on the road. Because, I mean, you know you're not going to get the home. I doubt that's going to change, whether it's going to be Yankees or Red Sox. They're going to be the home team of that game. So whether the A's are going to be going to Boston or New York, or the Red Sox or the Mariners will go to Boston or New York, remains to be seen. That's really the only thing that we have to really decide in the American League right now, because the Indians are winning their division, the Astros are winning their division, and then either the Red Sox or the Yankees are going to win their division. What is it? 5 teams make it, and then you have the play-in games to get down to 4, and we already really have we have six teams. It's probably six teams. In the National League, it's like nine teams, or even, maybe even 10 teams. And we'll do that. Actually, we should start doing that right now. About 10 minutes left in this segment, I want to go over the National League. So in the West, there's still four teams in it. Dodgers have now gotten into first place, but the Giants are only four back. And then you have the Diamondbacks and the Rockies in between them as well. I think D-backs are half game back or a game and a half back, and the Rockies are three back or something like that. So it's going to come down to head to head with those four teams. They all beat up on each other. Rockies beat up on the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks beat up on the Rockies. Dodgers beat up on the Rockies. Diamondbacks. Giants do the best they can to stay in the contention. Just the Giants don't seem to beat up on anybody. They just seem to maybe steal a couple wins here and there, and then maybe a series here and there as well, because they play well at home. The Giants, when you play at AT&T Park, it'll be tough for you. They play really well at home. They just need to increase their wins on the road for sure, because I don't even think they're one of the three teams in the National League that haven't won three road games, I don't think. So three road games, 20 road games this year, I don't think. So definitely something they want to right the ship on. When it comes to it, the Dodgers, they got Machado. Do they have the pitching, though? It always comes down to pitching. The Giants have a lot of options. They got Madison Bumgarner's back. They're going to have Cueto come back. They have some really interesting young players who they are still in the rotation with Andrew Suarez and Pudge Rodriguez's kid, Derek Rodriguez, who's been playing very well, pitching very well for the Giants. And then you have Samardzija, who just got put back on the disabled list. Giants have had so many injury problems as they have seemingly the last few years had to deal with a bunch of injuries. But, you know, it just has to do with, you know, keeping it going and keeping it all in perspective and things like that, and keeping the nose to the grindstone. I think this division, if any division, was going to be decided by the trade deadline and have a lot of implications in the trade deadline this year, it is this division for sure. Maybe the Central as well. I mean, honestly, the National League, and all of them, the National League is wide open. There's really three teams in each division that are in contention. I mean, in the American League, it's pretty much decided. In the National League, you have Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Rockies, Giants in the West. And the Central, you have the Cubs and Brewers. I mean, you can even throw the Cardinals in there, kind of. Maybe not in the division race, but in the wild card, yes. And then in the East, you have the Phillies and Braves, who are still playing well. I mean, you still have, they're still in there. I mean, they're still up on top. I mean, you guys see both those teams one in the wild card and one winning the division, just like in the other Eastern Division. And the Nationals, they need to get their that team. They need to get their stuff together regarding what they're going to do. I just don't know. All right, we didn't break it up very well by division, so let's do that now. We did the West. In the Central, the Cubs, they're in first place now. They've miraculously gotten the first to the best record in the National League. What they're going to do is play four more games than everybody else, pretty much in this segment and in this this part of the season, because of the rainouts they had beginning of the year. So they have more to prove because they played all these less games due to the rainouts. So they have a little more to prove, and their rotation is going to be tested this second half. Whether they're going to make a move, I know they just made a move for a reliever, whether they're going to make a move for a starter this year, I know there's a bunch of guys like Cole Hamels and Jay Happ, and Jay Happ has been connected with the Mariners, so it might be a different story. But we're going to go into the trades next segment. So we'll want to wait, but you know, this is a situation where the Cubs got to hold on. All they got to do is hold on. I think the Brewers are, I told you, the Brewers, they lost six in a row. They lost five in a row just to the Pirates in Pittsburgh in that one series. And their pitching is, I mean, you think a five-game series? It was a five-game series. They played a four-game series with a doubleheader in it, too. So they played five games in a row. You think you can't get one win? Just one. And it was a big no for that. So they couldn't get one win in Pittsburgh, as the Pirates, who are pretty much kind of out of it now, or maybe even they got, unless they got themselves back into it. Those are five wins, get you right back in the division standings. But you know, looking at it now, what are we looking at? The Pirates right now, they're 9.5 back. Yeah, so they're still not really that in it. In the wild card, they're 5.5, but a bunch of teams in the between them. So it's going to be an interesting way at it for them. But they did a good job. They helped out the Cubs a little bit in that last series before the All-Star break, for sure. But, you know, it's a situation where you have to keep winning, and you have to keep your rotation. Pitching. The hitting is going to come and go. You got 8 different guys who can do something for you. Obviously, those teams are going to score some runs. The Brewers are going to score some runs. The Cubs are going to score some runs. I think it is going to end up being a 2-team race for sure. It's a situation where, I know, it's tough. It's tough to kind of predict. It really is. And you look at the Cubs and you think, oh, they're going to run away with it. They've hiccuped this season too. They haven't been on top of their game all season. They've had hitting issues. They go kind of dormant sometimes. They've had some inconsistency with Kyle Hendricks and Quintana. Lester has been great, honestly. John Lester's having one of his best seasons. He's been great. But their rotation is just kind of top heavy. I mean, where do you go after you have Mike Montgomery? Really? Is he going to be your guy? I know the playoffs, you only get 3, but you got to make the playoffs. You got to use all 5 to make the playoffs. And whether it's going to be Lester and Quintana to really lead the way, and then you have Montgomery there as well with Hendricks, that's going to be the 2 lefties on top of that rotation. I mean, maybe you get a resurgence from Kyle Hendricks in the second half. He's had just really shaky... Great starts and shaky starts. Is that sinker? Sinkers are weird. Sinkers, they get up in the zone and they get hit. So it's tough. If I had to predict, I'd say the Cubs are going to be able to hold on. They have the talent. Chris Bryant's going to be healthy now. You got Happ and Rizzo. And I like their lineup a little bit. The Brewers lineup, don't get me wrong, the Brewers lineup is cool. Brewers lineup is very nice with Aguilar and Thames, and you forget about Ryan Braun. Ryan Braun is flying way under the radar this year, and it's because he's having not his best season, obviously, but his team's playing well and he's playing decently as well. So I mean, we'll see how it goes continuing on for him. Maybe he gets a little more in the spotlight. I don't think he really cares per se, but you know, the Brewers. Yeah, you know, can't count them out either. It's gonna be two. I think it's gonna end up being a 2-team race. The Cardinals, even though I like the Cardinals, I always say you can't count the Cardinals out. They've just been a little bit underachieving. Their rotation definitely got hit with the injury bug this year. So I think the team that stays the most healthy on the stretch run obviously will have the advantage. The Brewers, seemingly their rotation might be a little bit better, in better shape than the Cardinals, but they saw what they did at the end of the season last year. It doesn't really encourage you much at all at the end of the season, at the end of the first half, at least before the All-Star break is what I meant. It doesn't really encourage you at all. So Cubs, they have the pedigree. They have the players who have the experience to get down to the stretch run, and they definitely have the talent to do so. Whether they can pitch and they're going to shore up their bullpen a little bit more, it remains to be seen, because the Brewers' bullpen is very good. And I know the Josh Hader stuff all happened. Looks like his team is behind him and is supporting him, and he's going to go do what he needs to do in order to get past what happened on Tuesday, people dredging up his old tweets and stuff. But the Brewers, their bullpen is on fire and is very, very good, and they have some very good bullets in there, and they can turn games into 16 games very quickly. And I mean, looking at the outlook for this season, or for these two teams, seeing the head-to-head matchups is going to be the key for these two teams as well for them. So whether they can get that done is going to be up to those head-to-head games, like I said. And then in the East, I mean, the Nationals are so underwhelming. It's not even funny. They could go on a run. They have the pitching. They have the lineup to do it. Bryce Harper does not have any protection in that lineup right now. Anthony Rendon is not a good enough protection. He's not getting sharp pitches in the zone. Pitches are pitching around him. They're making him swing at bad pitches. He's expanding his zone too much. That's why he's hitting 220. He doesn't want to take his walks. He should take his walks and let the other guys on his team pick him up. Take your walks. Steal a few bags. That's all I have to say about the Nationals. They're going to be what they're going to be. They're so underwhelming. I'm really excited for the Braves to go on a run. I think the Braves, honestly, of any team, they have the pitching. I think the Phillies, The Phillies and the Braves are really interesting. They're kind of, they're very similar teams. Very similar. Young with some young teams, young stars with veteran presences. The Phillies, not so much veteran presences in their lineup per se. So pretty much everybody's young. I mean, you can call Mikel Franco a veteran. And maybe Odubel Herrera, a veteran, now at this point. But the Phillies, they don't really, their veteran lies in their rotation with Jake Arrieta. Then they have all the young guys with Eflin and obviously Aaron Nola, Vince Velasquez, pitching very well. But then they're going to have to, they were in the, sweepstakes for Manny Machado to try and push them over the top. Let's see if they can get something else. I think their bullpen will need some help, I think, a little bit in there when it comes to the trade deadline. So we'll probably be seeing that a lot of names flying around the Phillies as well as the Braves as they look to separate themselves from the Nationals and then battle against each other to win that division. If I had to pick right now, what are they at right now? Who's in? The Phillies are in first by half game. Oof, that's tough. That's a toss up right now between those two teams. And I mean, looking at the how much they play each other this second half of the season. Quickly, Tom. Phillies and Braves, second half of the season. I mean, August, they play four times in Atlanta to really end the season. So they play twice. So I think they only play two more times, and it's both end of the year. Oh, this is going to be great. So they don't play each other until the last 2 weeks of September. They play four in September, the second to last week of the season, and then they play in Philly the last week of the season, last series of the season. So it could come down to that between those two teams. And if I had to just straight up pick, I'm going to pick the Braves. I think Acuna and Albies and Freeman and Markakis are going to get him passed, and their rotation I think is going to shore up a little bit better with Tehran and the young guys. So I'm going to take the Braves to win the division. Phillies are going to get that first wild card in the National League and host the wild card game against somebody. There could be a lot of different teams there. All right, we'll come back and do some of the talk on the early trades as well as outlook forward some of the trades we might see over the weekend and next week. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Baseball Podcast. As we're going to talk about some of the trades that have gone on throughout the league here. Obviously, the big one was the Manny Machado deal over to the Dodgers. That's the question mark is regarding whether he's going to get signed or not. I think the fact that the Dodgers did not only sent one big prospect, and then the rest of the guys they sent over were guys who are just playing well right now, but not really that highly touted, at least in the long run. That could just mean the Dodgers don't expect to sign him at the end of the year. They told the Orioles that, like, we're not going to get him, so we're not going to give you that much anyways. And that was probably the best deal they got anyways from them. If the Phillies were going to get him, they would have had to give up Zach Eflin, because that's who the Orioles wanted. They wanted a proven talent in the major leagues, at least a little bit proven. And they said no. The Phillies like, no, we're not giving up that guy. Sorry, buddy. So that's the way that happened. All right. So, trades. First one, Brad Hand. Huge, huge shoot. I know I talked about the Indians and how they're going to, I mean, this is really for the playoffs. They kind of know they're going to make the playoffs. This is really for them getting ready for the playoffs and shoring up that bullpen for their run in October. And Brad Hand is a huge, huge, huge pickup for them. I think he was excited to go to the Phillies. I mean, I heard about the trade and it was like 2 hours before, 2 hours after it was reported. And I looked on his, I looked on Twitter. I'm like, oh, Brad Hand's already changed his Twitter handle or Twitter bio to Cleveland Indians pitcher. And he already got a photoshopped picture of himself in an Indians uniform as his profile image. And it took all of 2 hours after it was reported for that to happen. So I think he was excited. I mean, yes, I know it's lovely probably to live in San Diego down there. It's beautiful. But the Padres are kind of a, I mean, the organization right now is not where you really want it to be. But they're going the right direction. If you think about it from a Padres standpoint, the guy they got back for, I mean, I think they sent two guys. They sent Hand and then they sent Simber, who's actually a pretty good little righty, drops down from the right side and really throws the kind of that low sidearm, almost submarine delivery. But they got a really good, the Padres got a really, really, really high touted, highly rated catching prospect from the Indians for those two pitchers. So if you're AJ Preller, the GM of the Padres, you got to be happy with what you were able to get back, a very a talent who you'll likely see in the major leagues within the next few years. So good for him to get that done. Another one was Jesse Chavez going over to the Cubs from the Rangers as he gets moved over there. I think that the Cubs were kind of expecting somebody else, but they get Chavez, and he—I mean, he's a guy who's had some success. He's had success with the A's when he was there as a starter. Now he's coming out of the bullpen and has shown that he can be effective against right-handers. And he gets over for goes over for the Cubs as Joe Maddon does predict that more deals will be coming as well. So it's funny; these teams are we're gonna go for a run. We're gonna be there in October in spring training. I swear, because it always happens. It rolls around these times where teams are like, "Oh, we need some help." Whether it's injuries or just underperforming players or whatever it might be, you're probably gonna figure out that you need some help, and that's what the trade deadline is, or the trade ability is for. That you have the trade deadline to do that. So make sure that everything gets done before July 31st, or you're gonna have to deal with some waivers. Right now, so it looks like that the Chavez, I mean, this is a guy who has had a good year with the Rangers. He's 3-1 with a 3.51 ERA, 1.24 WHIP right now. So looks like that he's going to be strikes out 8 per 9 while walking just 1.9. So he throws all strikes, has had some issues with maybe giving up some runs, getting hit around a little bit, but in a new league, he's gonna have some advantages because people have not faced him, and can definitely use that as an advantage. All right, going through the rest of this, I mean, those were the two big early trades. If anything has happened since then, you'll be hearing it here on the show, and as well as we look at our Ken Rosenthal. We got to go our Ken Rosenthal report here. Ken Rosenthal signing, as you have him, of course, reporting on most everything that's going to be happening. So Jesse Chavez, he was traded for Tyler Thomas, a left-handed pitcher, a left-handed reliever that's going over for him. All right. And then, Simber is going over that's right. He's that really gets low. I mean, you watch some of his stuff. That's the Indians trade there. All right. So, So then, by the way, who's the guy? It was a Mejia. Was it the Francisco Mejia? Yeah. So that's the guy who's being traded to the Padres. He's very good, as he is going to be a Padre now, and they're going to look like they're going to be keeping him as a catcher for now. All right. That looks like it's it for the as far as the early trades. I know some of the ones we're looking at. Looking forward, it looks like the Mariners are really, really interested in. And Jay Happ, from the Blue Jays, as well as a possibility that you see maybe a Mets guy going, whether it's Syndergaard or DeGrom, I don't think. But Mike Moustakas, also a guy who is going to be on the block as well. So make sure we look at that. Chris Archer has also been talked about as teams line up to try and acquire him. As you've already seen, the Rays shipping out Alex Colomaine and Arn Spann earlier this season. But Archer, I mean, there hasn't really been any teams identified as a favorites for him, but he's definitely going to be a guy who is going to be talked about and might be finding himself on it. I mean, there's always guys who, like, oh, he's going to get traded, and then ends up not getting traded. But, you know, it may never. Some things come to fruition faster than you think, or they just nothing happens. Another guy who could be have his name thrown around is Zach Britton for the Orioles. Another Orioles guy. He's a very good reliever. Looks like that the Mariners were trying to trade for him. Mariners were trying to trade for him, but then also the Cardinals were looking to trade for him as well. But the Cardinals is that going to be somebody that they are going to let go, because the Cardinals are kind of like, yeah, we're gonna call it for this season, and they're going to end up being sellers. I mean, the thing is, if you decide to be a seller, you can end up getting some good. The Yankees were sellers like 4 years ago, and they got or 3 years ago, actually no longer. 2016, the Yankees were sellers at the deadline. They traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs, and who they get? Gleyber Torres. Look what happens now. Look where they are now. So, I mean, it's kind of amazing how fast things can happen. I know Cardinals also have Carlos Martinez, who has come up in some sort of speculation as far as trades. I know his injuries history has been a problem as well. I know the Yankees, they were involved in the Manny Machado stuff as were trying to see if they could get a package for him. It didn't look like they want to trade Miguel Andujar for him. So looks like they obviously that one went the other direction. But I'm thinking Jose Martinez for the Cardinals will probably be on the move. Zach Britton and Carlos Martinez, also guys that you will probably see in new teams, as Zach Britton definitely interest is picked up steam for him. As I'm thinking the Red Sox, it says the Red Sox, Phillies, Yankees, Cubs, and Astros, as well as the Giants, are in the mix for Zach Britton, especially. So, whether we're going to be, I mean, he's going to, I think that guy, he's going to be moved. It's just depends on where he's going to go as well. As far as the Tigers, they're definitely sellers at the trade deadline. That's when you think about Nick Castellanos and Michael Fulmer as far as their trade rumors going. Not seeing that the Tigers are going to be shopping them, which means, you know, putting them up, making them available for trade. But it looks like that they have made some players for trade, as long as it's going to be before the trade deadline, as it's Mike Fiers, the pitcher, the right-handed pitcher, lefty Francisco Liriano, and then the center fielder Leonis Martin, who honestly has had a very good season for the Tigers, are all looking like they're going to be up on the block to trade as well. So Fiers could be the most valuable guy. This is a guy who's not very expensive, right? Good right-hander, and has pitched all right, I mean, this season. But this is a guy who's been an Astro, been a Brewer, and he's also pitching pretty well for an age 33 season with a 3.70 ERA and 6.5 Ks per nine, with only one point walks per nine in 104 innings this season. So we've talked about him on the show a lot. We've shown that he can play well, and has had some nice starts out there. So, I mean, that's as far as the Tigers go. And then as well as, it looks like on the rest of the trade deadline, we're going to get more and more news as it goes along here throughout the day and throughout the week. And then, I mean, we have 11 days is the 20th. So we see a lot of stuff happening on the day, the 30th, 31st. So we'll be right along with you guys to give you the newest, latest takes latest reports on who could be going where, especially. So, I mean, just looking at specific teams, as well as go down to the Reds. I'm thinking, if you're the Red Sox, like, do you really need to make any trades? Do you think you need to improve that roster? I mean, you went really good. Obviously, they they said they're willing to trade to pass the threshold. They're definitely one of the teams interested for Mike Moustakas. I mean, I just don't know what. Do you really need him? And the Braves are also interested in him as well. The Braves could use him to play third base as well. But you know, so the Red Sox, they definitely have had some interest when it comes to Mike Moustakas and as well as Yuris Familia. But we'll see how it goes throughout the rest of the week. As you know, it's like I said, things heat up and then they cool down and they pick up steam and then they lose steam. So all the analogies, all the little cliches happen every year on the trade deadline. And then we'll see what happens on July 31st and when everything is said and done. And we'll be here to talk about it especially. All right, last segment of the day, we're going to go over the games for this weekend. We're back to baseball as we have games tonight, and then we'll cover the ones, we'll preview the ones from for tonight, and then, of course, Saturday and Sunday as well. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back for the last segment of the day.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
All right, welcome back to USMC Baseball Podcast, the final segment of the day. Today, so we're going to go over the games for Friday to Saturday and Sunday, as we'll start with the Bay Bridge series getting started again, as they had actually three games before the break, and then they're going to play three more games, this time in Oakland, as they did the three in San Francisco last weekend. So starting out today, it's going to be Derek Rodriguez against Edwin Jackson from the Oakland Coliseum. Rodriguez is 4-1 with a 2.89 ERA on the year. He's been very good for the Giants in his rookie campaign since being called up. And then Edwin Jackson is 1-1 with a 2.59 ERA since being signed by the A's and being put in that rotation. Been a nice little addition. The Cubs and Cardinals get going again as that games get started in just about an hour or so. The day baseball from Chicago, as normal on a Friday. It'll be Jack Flaherty for the Cardinals. He's 3-4 with a 3.24 ERA on the year against John Lester, who's having a great season, 12-2 with a 2.58 ERA. He was an all-star, of course. In Washington, the Nationals will be hosting the Braves as they get their post-All-Star break season started. They're 48-48. Well, the Braves are 52-42, so I mean, got some ground to pick up there. This is a big series. We'll have Anibal Sanchez 4-2 with a 2.60 ERA on the year for the Braves against Steven Strasburg 6-6 with a 3.46 ERA for the Nationals. The Subway Series will get going today from the Bronx. Actually, it'll be the Mets and the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Noah Syndergaard for the Mets. He's 5-1 with a 2.97 ERA on the year against Domingo German for the Yankees. He's 2-5 with a 5.49 ERA on the year for New York. See, little question marks, but he's not going to be pitching in the playoffs anyways. In Philadelphia, the Padres come to town to visit the Phillies. It'll be Clayton Richard against Jake Arrieta. He's Richard is 7-8 with a 4.43 ERA. Arrieta 7-6 with a 3.23 ERA on the year. In Toronto, it'll be the Orioles and the Blue Jays. Dylan Bundy against Gavigolo for the I always want to say Lucas Gavigolo. It's not. It's Lucas Giolito. It's Sam Gavigolo for the Blue Jays against Dylan Bundy. Gavigolo is 2-3 with a 4.58 ERA. Bundy, the product of some trade talk a little bit around, is 6-9 with a 4.35 ERA on the season. In Detroit, the Red Sox come to town to visit the Tigers. David Price is 10-6 with a 4.42 ERA on the air. He gets the start for the Red Sox against Matthew Boyd, who's 4-8 with a 4.76 ERA on the air for the Tigers. In Florida, it'll be the Battle of Florida. Marlins and Rays from Tampa Bay. It'll be Dan Straley for the Marlins. He's 3-4 with a 4.29 ERA against Nathan Eovaldi, 3-4 with a 5.4 ERA. or 4.59 ERA on the year for the Rays. In Cincinnati, the Pirates come to town to visit the Reds. Jameson Taillon for the Pirates, he's 6-7 with a 3.91 ERA against Tyler Molly, who's 7-7 with a 4.02 ERA on the year. Indians visit the Rangers in Texas. Trevor Bauer going for the Indians. He's 8-6 with a 2.24 ERA on the year. Very nice start to the season for him, or start to the season. Very nice first half of the season for him against him going against the left-hander for the Texas Rangers, Martin Perez. He is 2-4 with a 7.67 ERA. In Milwaukee, the Dodgers and their new shortstop Manny Machado will be in Milwaukee for this series. He'll be Rich Hill against Wade Miley. Hill is 2-4 with a 4.55 ERA. Miley making just his third start of the year since coming back from the DL. He's 1-1 with a 2.38 ERA on the year. In Kansas City, it'll be Kyle Gibson against Danny Duffy as the Twins come to town. Kyle Gibson is 4-6 with a 3.42 ERA. Danny Duffy 5-8 with a 4.59. And then in Arizona, Diamondbacks and Rockies, Marquez against Robbie Ray. Marquez is 8-8 with a 4.81 ERA against Robbie Ray, 3-2 with a 5.03 ERA on the year. In Los Angeles, the Angels and Astros get a series started. We'll see how this goes. Dallas Keuchel is 7-6 with a 3.57 ERA against Tyler Skaggs, who actually has a nice ERA. He's 7-5 with a 2.57 ERA on the year. And then the last game of the day on Friday, it'll be the Mariners and the White Sox. James Shields against Wade LeBlanc. Shields is 4-10 with a 4.43 ERA. LeBlanc 5-1 with a 3.63. ERA, and that'll be in Seattle. And then on Saturday, A's and Giants again, Bumgarner against Cahill, and then Cubs, Luke Weaver against Mike Montgomery for the Cubs. Montgomery 3-3 with a 3.91 ERA. Weaver 5-8 with a 4.72 ERA. Then they'll play again actually on Saturday. They play a doubleheader, so this is another one of those five-game series we're going to get to make up some of these brainouts. As it'll be Gaunt against Tyler Chatwood. Gaunt is 3-3 with a 3.49 ERA. Chatwood 3-5 with a 5.04. The Subway Series again. There'll be Steven Matz against Sonny Gray. Both guys looking to have better second halves. In Toronto, the Orioles have not announced a starter yet, actually, for Saturday's game. But whoever it is will be facing Marcus Stroman, who looks to really have a second better post-All-Star break performances. In Detroit, it'll be Mike Fiers going against Brian Johnson for the Red Sox. The lefty is 1-2 with a 4.20 ERA against Fiers, 6-6 with a 3.70 ERA on the season. In Tampa Bay, the Rays and the Marlins. For the Rays, they have not announced a starter yet. We'll see if there's going to be one of those piggyback guys for him. It'll be Lopez for the Marlins, as he is 1-1 with a 6.35 ERA. In Washington, D.C., Sean Newcomb goes again for the Braves against Gio Gonzalez. In Philadelphia, the Padres have not announced a starter, but whoever it is will be facing Vince Velasquez. He's 5-8 with a 4.39 ERA. In Milwaukee, Clayton Kershaw gets another start to start off his second half. He's 3-4 with a 2.74 ERA. Interesting record for Kershaw. Not a very normal ERA, but interesting record. He'll be facing Chase Anderson, who's 6-7 with a 3.78 ERA. In Cincinnati, Nick Kingham against Anthony DeSclafani. In Kansas City, the Twins and the Royals again. Lance Lynn against Jacob Junis. In Los Angeles, the Astros will throw out Justin Verlander, and the Angels will go out with Nick Tropiano. And that shows you why the Angels aren't making the playoffs. That's the matchup right there that tells you why the Angels are not making the playoffs. Tyler Skaggs is great. It's fine. But you got Justin Verlander against Tropiano. Okay, where's your star power? In Texas, it'll be the Indians and the Rangers again. Carlos Carrasco against Bartolo Colon. See, that would be... Carlos Carrasco is the, third starter for the Indians? The Angels would love to have him as their first or second starter. And in Arizona, Diamondbacks and Rockies again. Kyle Freeland against Zach Godley for the D-backs. And in Seattle, it'll be Sean Covey for the White Sox against Felix Hernandez for the Mariners, as they look to separate themselves a little more from the A's, as they've now kind of squished together a little bit. That's interesting. I want to look at that really quick, because the AL West is going to be interesting. The only interesting in the AL West is the A's and Mariners. I do want to see the head-to-head games between those two teams coming up is the A's. Like I said, the A's play the Giants at home, and they go on the road for four against Texas. Should be able to handle that and go to Colorado before they come home. They play a lot of home games. They only play ten road games in August, and everything else is at home. So they play like 15 or 16 home games in August. They'll be playing the Mariners in the middle there at home. So they have a Mariners series at home in the middle of August, and they also have a four-game series at the end of August, beginning of September, before they will go to Seattle at the end of the year. Second-to-last series of the season will be in Seattle for the A's. So that's an interesting outlook for them, as they're going to have some head-to-head games to make up some ground, as well as some easier soft spots in their schedule to make up some ground as well. The Texas series should be good. They have Detroit coming home, coming back at home, and then Toronto as well, and then Minnesota in there as well, and some more games against the Rangers, as of course they play their own division. Baltimore at the end of the year, Tampa Bay at the end of the year, LA at the end of the year. The Angels should be able to, A's should be able to handle the Angels. If the A's are going to make the playoffs this year, they should be able to handle the Angels. I mean, I think the A's even have a better rotation than the Angels do. I mean, just... Even though they're all homegrown guys, pretty much Shamania, Frankie Montas, I mean, even Trevor Cahill. I mean, sometimes you can't find much better on the Angels. I can't. I'm going to continue to rip the Angels until the playoffs. I'm going to, because they just don't know how to make a rotation. I think that Tyler Skaggs and Garrett Richards, who's injury prone, and who else? Is that it? I'm pretty sure that's it for them. Nick Tropiano and Nick Ramirez and Jaime Barilla. that's who they got. I mean, who was their starters? Who do they think they were going to run with to make the playoffs? They had the best player in the league, and they can't get some pitching to back him up. Because you can have as many hitters as you want. You know how many hitters the Astros have? Eight. They have eight of them. I know they're not all Mike Trout, but this is supposed to show you how many times has Cole Calhoun won a game for the Angels this year? Probably the same amount of times Mike Trout has. Just telling you right now that one player cannot just. It's not one player. It's all of them. It's all of them, especially pitching. All right, to Sunday we go for the starters for you. Johnny Cueto against Sean Manaea as the Baybeard series gets finished up there in Oakland. The winner of that series, Giants, they need to win. They need at least go 2 out of 3 in this series, and then they also need to win the last game of the series or sweep. Giants sweep, they get the bridge. The Giants and A's, for some reason, because they share a broadcast partner, for their games, NBC Bay Area does both of the, or NBC California and NBC Bay Area do the A's and the Giants games respectively. And of course, the they made a. I'm really hoping it's made from old reclaimed metal from the old bridge. That would make a lot more sense. I'm thinking it is, honestly. But they made this. Go look up the Bay Bridge Series trophy. It's a big thing. It's the first year they're doing it, and the winner of the series gets the trophy. And of course, the A's are doing hella extra stuff because they think that they're the little brothers to the Giants. So they did some sort of took over a Giants dugout store in the East Bay last week. They're doing a parade that never happened during the game today or tomorrow, I think, out in the outfield. It's a weird thing that the A's are doing regarding the takeover. They had their president of their team was in the Bay. I mean, it's very interesting, but you know, they actually took 2 out of 3 from the Giants in San Francisco, so you can't really say that much about it. But it's saying that whoever wins that series, or whoever, if they do tie, whoever wins the last game of the series will get that trophy for themselves, if it means anything. There we go. I think both teams just want to win to get better position in the playoffs. All right, for the Sunday, Cueto against Manaea in Toronto. The Orioles, again, do not know who's starting for them on Sunday, but they'll face Jay Happ, whoever it is. In Detroit, Chris Sale against Michael Fulmer. That'll be a pretty interesting little matchup right there. In Tampa Bay, it'll be Trevor Richards against Chris Archer. In Cincinnati, Pirates and Reds, Nick Kingham against Matt Harvey, who's actually had an interesting little resurgence for the Reds. He might be a trade piece. As the Reds have actually, I want to look at the Reds and how they finished the season, how they finished the, I know they're still 14 back, they're 43 and 35, or 43 and 53, but this is a team that was on the verge of losing 100 games And they could win 80 games this year. You never know. That's something that could happen because they actually played really good ball at the end of this, at the end of the first half a few weeks ago. So they look out for the Reds. In D.C., Braves and Nationals, Mike Foltynewicz against Max Scherzer. That would be a great start. I'm surprised I didn't get to it. That I didn't get a Sunday night game, but we'll see. I bet you Mets and Yankees, $5. Bet you. In San Diego, or actually in Philadelphia, Padres and Phillies. Padres do not have a starter yet, but they'll face Nick Pivetta, whoever that is. In Milwaukee, the Dodgers and Brewers, Alex Wood against against Suter for the Brent Suter for the Brewers. In Minnesota, in Kansas City, sorry, the Royals and the Twins, Jacob DeRizzi against Keller. That's the young right-hander for the Royals, Brad Keller. In the Chicago, Cubs and Cardinals finish up their five-game series. In Chicago, Miles Mikolas against Jose Quintana. In Texas, the Indians and the Rangers, Mike Clevenger against Cole Hamels. In L.A., it'll be the Astros and the Angels, Lance McCullers against Andrew Heaney. In Seattle, the White Sox and Mariners wrap up that series, Ronaldo Lopez against Marco Gonzalez. And in Arizona, the Diamondbacks and Rockies. Rockies do not have a starter announced yet for Sunday, but it'll be Zach Greinke for the D-backs. And then the Sunday night game, I won all the bets. Whoever bet me that the Sunday night game would not be the Mets and Yankees, it is going to be the Mets and Yankees, like I said. Shocker. Jacob DeGrom against Masahiro Tanaka, which is a fine, great matchup. Actually, I'm fine with that. So that's what's going on Sunday night baseball on ESPN, the Subway Series from Yankee Stadium. Jacob DeGrom against Tanaka. DeGrom, I'll give you his. He's has a cool 1.68 ERA, 5-4 on the year, which is weird. Against Tanaka, just no run support. His team is not very good. Against Tanaka, who's 7-2. There's show you with a 4.54 ERA on the season. All right, I'll wrap it up. See you guys on Monday. Enjoy your baseball over the weekend, and we'll talk about some more trades on Monday and then recap the games, of course, as usual. So back on Monday. Have a good week. Talk to you later. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.